man.
I was scrambling there for a while. Because I thought Pastor was going to, he said he had a couple more Thursdays. And I was putting together a teaching that would have taken me two Thursdays to complete it, and I wasn't quite finished. So I'm thinking, you know, whenever Pastor gets done, you know, I'd have two Thursdays, but it didn't work that way. So anyway, I had to finish it because I didn't want to leave a big space in between the teachings. So I had to finish it, but I got it finished. Anyway, God's incredible, you know, and this message I have is really, it's reminding us of some things. And, you know, I'm thankful that God picked today to remind us, you know, because it was part of his plan. You know, this is the way he wanted it, so this is the way it's gone. And I'm thankful that he reminds us of things. Very thankful, because there's so much information in the scriptures, there's no way that we could retain all of it. There's no way. But he reminds us. And, you know, he reminds us through teachers, preachers, brothers and sisters in Christ. He reminds us through his Spirit. And I'll give you an example. I was headed out of Tarfine fishing a few days ago. And, you know, I was headed to the outside. They have a facility out there, so I was going to the outside of the facility. Well, something told me to slow down here. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I got this urge on the inside of me to slow down here, but my mind's telling me don't slow down. You keep going because you caught fish on the outside of the facility. Well, I slowed down. And as soon as my boat came off the plane, I run up on top of a pollen. Now, I knew that pollen was there because I skimmed there many times. But I forgot. But God reminded me. And he said, slow down. And I did. So I'm thankful of God's reminders in my life. Because I know I need it. I forget a lot. I know I need it, especially whenever it comes to his word. Because that's the most important thing in my life right here. It ain't my wife. It's not my kids. It's the word of God. So whenever it comes to his word, I'm thankful that he's mindful of me, knowing how I am, because nobody knows me as good as God, that I'm going to forget. So I need his reminders, and I'm thankful for it. So some of the stuff we're going to go over tonight, look, you may be familiar with it. I'm sure you are. Somewhere along the line you ran into this, you may have studied it yourself. But we need reminders in our life whenever it comes to the word of God. And the reason why he does it, because he loves us. He loves us so much that he'll keep reminding us over and over and over about his word. You know me, I'd have done been tired of me. I'd have said, you know something, you just go and do it your way. If that's what you want, you go and do it. But not God. He's so incredible that he'll keep reminding us over and over to bring us back to him and back to his word. We'll start off in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. You know what? I noticed something about Peter. You know, Peter loved people, especially God's people. And, you know, one of the reasons why I say that is because, you know, Peter was eventually crucified. Same way Yeshua was. And he told me, say, you know, I'm not even worthy to be crucified like my Lord and Savior. I want to be put upside down. So they did it. So there's no, whenever I think about that, there's no way Peter was just doing that for him. Ain't no way. You know, he did it because of God, because he was following Yeshua. But at the same time, he had people in mind. I believe we were on his mind. He didn't know us at the time, but he knew at some point somebody would read this and draw strength from it. At some point, he knew that. Because he didn't do it for himself. He did it for people. God's people. And I'm thankful for Peter. I'm thankful for the examples that he's given us in the scripture. We're going to go ahead and read. We're going to read 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 15. Simon Peter, bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the truth, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. So Peter's reminding them of something. You know, and it had to be important if Peter's reminding them of these things, because he could have went in a lot of different areas. Peter knew the scripture. It's evident in his writings. He knew the scripture. So he could have went in a number of different areas here, but he went here. And we're going to take a closer look at it. There's some things in this teaching that really stuck out to me. And, you know, we're going to go over some of them. And hopefully I can get done with all of this tonight. So we'll look at verse 1 again. And he says, Simon Peter, bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I look at that first scripture. And Peter, you know, he said of the same faith. You know, he didn't say of the same church, the same denomination. You know, all the same things that I believe in the scripture. He didn't go there. He said of the same faith. Because look, we'll disagree with other believers about a lot of things, but it's the same faith that saves us. It's the same faith. And Peter knew that. That's why he said it. He didn't mention anything about other churches, other organizations. He said of the same faith. Take a look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied or increasing to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So here Peter's saying that, you know, that this chapter's talking about virtues. All right, that's what the scripture's calling it, virtues, the title of it in my Bible. It's calling it virtues. And Peter's saying, you know, these virtues, they have to be multiplying. In other words, we have to grow in these things. You know, we don't just, you know, you don't just receive patience and then that's it. You know, because if you do, you're going to find out quick that you didn't have as much patience as you thought you had. You know, so we have to continue to grow in them. Grace and peace will be multiplied in our life through more knowledge, through the more knowledge we attain about Yeshua and Yahweh. And we also have to submit to what we have learned. You know, we can learn a lot of things, but until we submit to it, nothing's going to change. You know, there's folks who know this scripture from the front to the back, but they didn't make any changes. They didn't submit to the word. So they have no changes in their life. Until we submit, there's nothing's going to change. And look, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. We all know that. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. We have to. You know, one of the things I tell my, you know, whenever I find myself struggling or just in deep thought about certain things and questioning things, this is something I always tell myself. Failure is not an option. And the failure I'm talking about is giving up and saying, you know, I'm done with this. Because we've all been there. There's times where we want to say, you know something, I'm done. But the thing that kept us here is we was rooted and grounded in the Word of God. That's what kept us here. Verse 3. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. So He says everything pertaining to life and godliness. And that, you know, everything, that covers a lot of ground. I mean, everything. You know, that's a wide scope. So we're going to narrow it down a little bit. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. Courage in the face of opposition. Wisdom for raising the kids. Peace under pressure. Faith in the face of tragedy. Love when you feel alone. Comfort when you feel hurt. Healing when you are wounded. Strength when you are overwhelmed. So thank God for that, because we all need some of that. We always need it. And then He talks about precious and magnificent. And I looked at that, and the first thing I did is I said, you know, what's precious and magnificent to me? And I thought about some things. But this is not us He's talking. He's talking about Him. The things that God sees precious and magnificent. Man, that's on a totally different scale than where I'm at from, you know, what I see precious and magnificent. We could only imagine what He's talking about there. And I'll show you what I mean. Let's go to Deuteronomy 29:29. Because what we deem as precious and magnificent don't even compare to God's. I promise you. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of the law. The secret things belong to God. The precious and magnificent things They belong to God. But you know something? We're going to have them one day. They're part of our inheritance. And he talks about the divine nature. You know, and that's to become like Christ. You know, Christ was the firstborn of many brethren. He was the first one to go from mortal to immortal. So the divine nature, to become like Christ. These virtues are to continually be growing in our life. All right, and we'll take a look at the first one. And think about this. You know, Pastor was scheduled for 2 more weeks. All right? There's a reason why I'm sharing this tonight. God's reminding us of some things that we need to know because something's coming up. And we're going to need these virtues. We need them to constantly grow in us. And we're going to need them. So I had nothing to do with this. I wasn't speaking tonight. But God seemed fit that we're here. And look, I even tried to change. I even tried to change messages because I wasn't done with this one. And my internet went down on my phone. I couldn't get anything on it. So I put it down. I said, all right, God, this is your show. It ain't mine because I don't know. I don't have a clue. But you know. That's never happened to me. Even had a signal, 2 bars, LTE. That's usually a good signal down here. You get internet quick. Wasn't happening tonight. But God knows. At a first step, we must have faith. This step is the foundational step, and all other steps are based upon it. Thus, we must examine ourselves to make certain that we are indeed disciples of Jesus Christ. And the Word teaches us that we must examine ourselves daily. You know, and again, this is nothing new to us, but God, he knows. God knows. He knows we need to hear this tonight. So we examine ourselves daily to make sure that we're lining, our life lines up with the Word. And if it's not, we make the necessary adjustments to make sure that it is lined up. Moral excellence. So in our faith, we supply moral excellence. This moral excellence is, of course, as taught in the Bible. We also see here that the world cannot accept our biblical moral standards because they do not have faith. Our attitude about God's law should be as in Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Number 3, knowledge. After moral excellence has been added, we then add knowledge. What knowledge should we try to add? We know that all worldly knowledge is of no value from the eternal perspective, and we want knowledge that has value beyond this life. So the knowledge that we want to add is knowledge about God. And how do we obtain this knowledge? We read, study, meditate, and pray in the Word of God. We continually learn more about one who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. So we need to pick some attribute of God that we want to add to our knowledge base. Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. God's holiness Let me look here, make sure I'm staying the course. Yep, looks like it. Let's see. God's holiness is revealed in his law. We read in Romans 7:12, so then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. We also read in Psalms 19:8 and 9. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. Therefore, we should love the law and meditate on it day and night. Josiah 8:1. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have success. You know, it's simple. You read it, it sounds so simple. I mean, it's like, well, why in the world, you know, why more folks ain't doing this? Why I'm not doing it to my fullest? Because you read it, it's simple. By studying his law, we can then obtain knowledge about the holiness of God. Before the holy God, I am now holy because the payment of Jesus has been appropriated to me, and now when God looks at me, he sees the holiness of Jesus. However, I am not now totally sanctified because I still have a sinful nature that reveals itself all too frequently. When I die, I will then be totally sanctified outwardly, inwardly. Praise God. Number 4, self-control. Wow. Now let us use the previous two steps to build this next step. Using your knowledge of the holiness of God, consider how you can build on your self-control regarding the first commandment. First commandment, you shall put no other gods before me. For example, one God that we could have is money. How does worshiping money interfere with the achieving of God's holiness in our life? 1 Corinthians 9:25-27. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. The games is a reference to the Olympic Games, of which everyone was aware. A track star must dedicate his or her entire life to the event in which they participate. One has to build muscle memories for every stage of the event so that he or she does not have to think about what the muscles are to do. Every stage of the event must be played over and over in the mind of the athlete to visualize everything that is happening during the event. Diet and exercise must be completely under self-control. All thoughts must be under self-control, as no negative thoughts can be allowed to enter the mind of the athlete. The day of the event means total concentration on the event, and all else has to be kept out of his or her mind. During the running or throwing of the event, all the self-control physically and mentally comes to peak, as all strength and all and will of the athlete is poured out into the competition. All of this activity and self-control is awesome and admirable. But note that Paul says about it, they do it to receive a perishable wreath. The wreath of flowers will certainly not last long, and if the athlete also receives a gold medal, that too will perish at times. You know, and I talked about this one of my teachings. I think it was for the Rise. I think I talked about this, the Rise event. But anyway, you know, you think about that. All the effort and all that goes into sports and different events. And, I mean, they put their heart and soul into it. And, you know, they change their schedule around. I mean, whatever they have to do to train, not only be there for the event, but to train for the event. You know, and I think about my life. You know, how much more time can I set aside during the day, every day, for God to spend time with Him? Because we're not talking about something that's perishable. We're talking about something that's imperishable. You know, and you know, just something that I think about. You know, and I challenge myself. Number one, we got to challenge ourselves. If we don't challenge ourselves, we can't challenge others. And we should challenge each other as the body of Christ. I think we're too concerned with offending each other. You know, but when's the last time you walked up to somebody that goes to this church and asked them, you know, what you've been studying? You know, what you've been reading? You know, what you've been praying about? We should challenge one another. There's nothing wrong with it. Think about the athletes, how they challenge each other. They get in each other's face and scream and yell. We don't even get in each other's face and just talk normal and ask, you know, what you've been reading, what you've been studying. Because let me tell you, if you know somebody's going to come ask you, it's going to challenge you and it's going to motivate you to want to study more. I gotta find where I stopped at here. I'll just start here. The day of the event means total concentration on the event, and all else has to be kept out of his or her mind. During the running or throwing of the event, all the self-control physically and mentally comes to a peak as all strength and will of the athlete is poured out into the competition. All of this activity and self-control is awesome and admirable, but no, Paul says about it, they do it to receive a perishable wreath. The wreath of flowers will certainly not last long, and if the athlete also receives a gold medal, that too will perish with time. No, Paul also says, but we an imperishable. We must go through exactly what the athlete does all of our life, and our reward is imperishable. Imperishable means that it will never tarnish, it will never fade, it will never go away, it will always be shining bright as the sun. And that should be us. We should always be shining bright. Always. Having that on mind, that, you know something, I'm going to receive something that nobody can take away. Because Paul knows that the reward is so important. Look at what he says next. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be qualified. You know, that's something we definitely don't want that. You know, and the sad thing is, there's folks doing it. They preaching because they know the word. But yet there's no self-discipline in their life. They just live in life however they want. We don't want to do that. Our muscle memories become translated as spiritual memories that come into play whenever we practice the life of a Christian. We don't have to think about them. They are a habit. Just as the muscle memories are for the athlete, we have to train to keep our lusts under control, and the best way to control one bad habit is to substitute it for a good habit. So whenever we are tempted, let our spiritual training immediately substitute a spiritual-based response. If we do that, I can tell you, we're going to win every time. We'll win every time. We must then run with a goal, right? That's what motivates them. You know, you look at an athlete, the goal motivates them. And the recognition. They like being at the top. and we must control our body to make it our slave. All temptations that come our way must be dealt with swiftly and completely. And that's true. We know that's true. As soon as, because temptation's coming. The adversary's out there. He's good at his job. He knows our weak points. He knows when to hit us, when not to hit us. He knows when to step back. He knows. But if we deal with him immediately, then we can defeat it. But if we wait, this is what happens. This is what will happen if we wait. James 1:14, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. It is the person who does not practice self-control who gets carried away by his own lust. Self-control is also a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. As Christians, we know what the righteous things. As Christians, we know that we know what are the righteous things to do, and we know that there will be judgment for us for not doing them. It is to our great advantage that we work on developing the self-control needed to control our lust and to do what is the righteous thing to do. Number 5, perseverance. This virtue means to view time with God's eyes. And that's hard to do. That's real hard to do. I'm still working on that, you know. And you know, 2 Peter 3:8 tries to help, but I mean it helps a little bit. All right, but do not let this one facet escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You know, that's kind of tough. It is for me. Maybe you got it, but I don't know. I think what he's saying here is, you know, whenever, you know, we feel like we're having patience waiting on something, and God's like, patience? You ain't seen nothing yet. If we could view one day as if it were drawn out over 1,000 years, then we could clearly view every minute and detail of it. If we could view 1,000 years as in one day, then we would see the big picture. Only God has the total perspective on everything. So we trust Him and continue to pursue His goals. We just keep plowing ahead, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:1-2. Is perseverance something that we generate totally on our own? It's a good question. Let's look at Romans 15:5. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. We see that indeed it is God who gives us perseverance. We must practice it to make it a daily part of our life. You know, the more we learn about what God does for us, the less room we have for any pride. We are told that we must repent, and that is true. But where does repentance come from? Second Timothy 2:25. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. So repentance comes from God. It is good that we find out more about what God does for us, for our life should be devoid of any pride in ourselves and total glory and praise to God for all that He does for us. when tough times come and we see members of the visible church not persevere, we should pray that God grants them repentance. The word persevere appears in 2 Timothy 4:16. Pay close attention to yourself, to your teaching, and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation for both yourself and to those who hear you. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation. This is Romans 5:3-5. I'm sorry. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. A reward of this application of this virtue is peace within, a peace that passeth all understanding. Now you can reap the peace of perseverance that you sowed. Godliness. This virtue leads to a very practical awareness of God in every aspect of our life. Godliness. And we're not going to stay long on that. All right, number 7, brotherly kindness. This is a special love called Philadelphia. And it, you know, whenever I was going over this, it hit me why Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Eagles, whenever I watch the game, you know, the commentators always say the city of brotherly love. And it just hit me. I mean, it took all them years for that to hit me. You know, I didn't. Anyway. God says that we ought to be devoted to one another and to honor others above ourselves. Are we truly devoted to other members of the family of God? Good question. One way we can tell about our devotion involves how we honor others. You know, and that's what Peter did. He put everybody else, all his family, above him. And if you do that, you know, if we do that consistently, pride will never come in. You know? Since this recognition and appreciation is based upon the other person being a new creation in Christ, the honor is based not upon the eternal characteristics of the person, attractiveness, human charisma, etc., but the inward characteristics, righteousness, peace, and joy. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. You know, and I think about, you know, the brotherly love. You know, and I ask myself this question. You know, do I pray? Because, you know, we have disagreements, especially whenever it comes to other churches. We disagree. It seems like every church has disagreements. But do I allow that to interfere with me in my prayer life? Are there times where God wanted me to pray for another member of a church, but I was too prideful to even realize it because, you know, I go to Faith Temple. and I got it. You know, is that stopping me? And you know, I've been through a lot of studies of that, because that's one of the things I'm cautious about. Is I don't like to give an impression that I'm better than anybody. And it's something that's always bothered me. And it bothers me to a point to where it hinders me sometimes. Because we're not better than anybody. We're not. As much as we think we are, we're not. We're part of the body of Christ. You know, we all function, and we should all be functioning members of the body. And we're all important. God doesn't look at anybody else more than what he looks at the next person. Or he doesn't bestow more grace, or, you know. We all equal. Simplified. I like the simple stuff. We all equal. You know. So give that some thought this week. You know, maybe it's somebody, you just feel like you don't like them. You know, or you know that one person that goes to the other church, and whenever you get around them, you can feel something there. And you know it's not right. Right? You know. You know it's not right. You feel something there, and you just try to avoid it, and you know it's not right. Let's fix it. Let's work on it. Ask God. Maybe that's that person, you know, you keep running into it. Maybe that's that person he wants you praying for. Just because they go to a different church, they live in a different state, they're different, it doesn't mean anything. We're all part of the body of Christ. And who are we to talk down on the body of Christ? You're walking on dangerous ground there. We start doing that. Just because we have a little disagreement with them and they believe something different, we all saved with the same grace. All of us. Now here's a tough one. I think that one's tough. I think they're all tough. Christian love. All right, this is love towards everybody. Even your neighbor. I'll tell you, that's tough for me. I love my neighbors, but it's tough. Anyway. But, you know, I've been there. We've all been there. Made dumb decisions and done some pretty dumb stuff that, you know, if we can go back, we would erase it. But we can't. But our job is to pray for them. Because they had somebody praying for us. Whenever I was acting out, doing my thing, cutting the rug, whatever you want to call it, they had folks praying for me. Thank God they had folks praying for me. Because I was out there, way out there. I was in another universe. But hey, the grace of God just pulled me in. Yep. There is no way that any person can do this one on his own. Yes. No way. No. This is a self-sacrificing action of love for another human being, fellow Christian or not. Christ is the primary example of this love. He died for us while we were yet sinners. Wow. The depths of his love are awesome. One way we can show this love is by not responding in a worldly way towards someone who wrongs us. Whew. Instead of getting mad at that person who takes your parking place, you can get mad. You can think thoughts of love towards that person. Yep. Instead of honking and getting mad at the person who cuts in front of you on the interstate, you can focus love thoughts at that person. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Love thoughts. Yes, I love you. Even though you cut in front of me, I love you. I guarantee you that if you want to practice this virtue, God will give you plenty opportunities. He will. I guarantee. Well, thank God for His grace and His mercy. Thanks for His reminders. Because He knows that we need them. Even if we don't think we need them, God knows we need them. And I'm not playing that side. I know I need them too, God. Yeah, I need all the reminders you can give me. Well, thanks, sir. Thank everybody for coming out. Enjoyed Bible study with y'all, and get ready for Saturday night. Torah portion. That's been incredible, man. I tell you what, I enjoyed the Torah. Going over in there at home and all, and yep, it's definitely going to help us in the long run. Because we in it for the long haul. We're going to do this. We got it. Love y'all. Dismiss in Jesus' name.